Using the chorus book for the service this morning, 118. These are some songs that haven't been sung in a while. 118 in the chorus book, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. This is a song we like because Jason changes keys every verse. That'll be good.
Please bless us, bless this day, bless the preaching of the word. Let our hearts draw near to you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
Amen. All right, 122. Another favorite of many of us. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. 122.
Oh, while. Some announcements this morning. First, I see progress has already been made back there, but let's keep giving to the Lord, and we're thankful for His blessings to us. God's been really good to us, and so continue to, and I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone else, let's give back to the Lord in the way that He has blessed us. And all of you know this, but we don't pass an offering plate here. We don't go from anybody. If you're able to support the ministry here, that's a blessing. And in the box, there's the box in the back, and then there's the basket there for Brother Renzi. And we thank God for him coming and being able to preach to us. And he's been a real blessing to me personally, and I trust to all of you as well. Secondly, this announcement is difficult. We just sang a song about where the roses never fade. Another one has gone to be with the Lord, and that's Debbie Bastin. She died on Thursday this week. She was able to be at home, surrounded by her family. So let's pray for the family during this difficult time. And I'm sure she and Pastor are preparing notes. Speaking of Pastor, this coming Friday would have been his 64th birthday. So I know that's difficult for all of us. We miss him terribly. But we thank God for the ministry that he had here for 41 years.
Amen.
And as the scripture says, he being dead yet speaketh. And his influence is no doubt going to be felt and here in this place until the Lord returns. That's a blessing. One other item. There are still baskets and pots over here left over from the funeral. They're empty. If you would like to take one with you and use it at home or you choose to do so, they're over here on the side of the platform. You can grab one at the end of the service before you go home. I think that's all the announcements that I'm aware of right now. So let's go back to singing. Oh, before we do that, Psalm 1. I almost forgot again. Psalm 1. Brother Renzi just finished his final message on that this morning in Sunday school. He wanted to just cover the first half of the chapter that talks about the godly. So, obviously, as we see in verses 4 through 6, the ungodly are the exact opposite of what we see in verses 1 through 3. So, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore,
sing out that echo part. 135, Goodbye to the World. If you're able to stand, why don't you stand?
Thank you. misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the sky.
Good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have a Bible, would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Good morning, everyone. 1 Corinthians, if you would please, chapter number 12. Last week, some of you will recall that I started to preach on the thought of unity. It is definitely a great need that we have as a church, amen? And I want us to note some things. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and before I go there, I want to read a verse from last week that kind of led us into our topic last week. And that is Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verse number 5. You don't have to turn there, but it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ." We are many, but we're one body. Many, but one. Amen? "And everyone members one of another." And before we look at 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read another verse that we talked about last week, and that's Ephesians 4 and verse number 25. The Bible says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man with his every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Now we'll go to 1 Corinthians 12. We're talking about one another. That's what we are, amen? As a body, we are one another. I made a statement, or I'll make a statement now to you, and that is this. The local church is not about one. It's not about one. It's about one another, amen? There's not one in particular in the local church that it's all about them, amen? It's about one another, and that has to be understood. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, the chapter is speaking about, it's using the human body as an illustration of the church, the local church. Who in the world would say, "I don't really need a part of my body. I can do without it"? Would anybody like to give up a pinky? Amen. Or say, "You know what, that toe, I don't think I need it." Well, you get rid of it, you'll realize how much you needed it. In 1 Corinthians, Paul the Apostle tries to say to the church, listen, we all need each other. Nobody's the most important and nobody's least. Amen. In fact, let me say this in reference to this chapter. No one organ of the human body is superior to the other. Each member has a specific purpose and function for the good of the entire body. Amen. And so that's the emphasis. Now look at verse number 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm sorry, verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number 14. The Bible says this, "For the body is not one member." And that's what I was just mentioning, right? But what? Many. Amen. We're picking up this morning where we left off last week And I want to speak to you. We're talking about one another. And by the way, this series has taken me from evangelistic preaching to pastoral preaching. And the reason I say that is because the things we're getting into right now is a message from a pastor to the people. Amen? And the fact of the matter is, there are many things that we have to do in reference to one another. In fact, the statement one another is found several times, especially in the New Testament, in reference to the church. And I've tried to develop a few messages, obviously, taking the verses that emphasize one another, recognizing the verse, and then trying to categorize the verse, and then try to organize the verse. Now, what I want to speak about today, at least to begin today, one of the things that we need to do in reference to one another is love one another. Love one another. Out of all the times that the thought of one another is found, almost half of those times, the emphasis is love one another. So it's obvious the most important thought that we can get when it comes to one another is the fact that we need to love one another. Amen? We ought to love every brother and sister in Christ, no matter who they are or where they are, but there's a special emphasis in the Bible on the local church, which this is a local church. Amen? And we as a local church need to learn to love one another. Amen? You know, the church is a family. And in any family where you're going to have a lot of children, you're going to have issues. Now, I wasn't raised in a real big family, but out of four boys, you have issues. My wife is one of 11, so, well, you know, 11, they had somebody else living with them that they took in. But the fact of the matter is, with one bathroom, you're going to have issues. Can I get a witness? Some of the men are like, you know what? Our church pretty much has one bathroom. Yeah. And when you see somebody headed down there real fast, get out of the way. You're going to have issues. Anytime you have families, you're going to have issues. Why? Because we live in close proximity. Amen? Imperfect people gathering together, somebody's bound to tread on somebody's toes. Somebody's bound to sit in somebody else's seat that has their gold plaque on there. Amen? I want to say this. Would you turn with me, please, to John chapter number 13, please? John chapter number 13. Boy, I'll tell you what, preparing this message, I was talking to Brother Jason, preparing this message, I've just done a lot of confessing. Studying the scriptures, I'm already cut up, convicted, fessed up, everything else, amen? What this is talking about is something that sometimes goes against our natural grain, amen? John chapter number 13, I want you to note something. The Lord Jesus is nearing the end. He's about ready to head to Gethsemane and then to Calvary. He knows that it won't be long before he's going to be leaving the disciples behind, and he is not physically going to be there. I mentioned this last week, when parents leave their children behind, if they're obviously old enough to be left behind, usually the parents have to warn them and rewarn them and warn them on the way out the door, right? To behave themselves, right? Why? Because the leader's not going to be physically there to make sure everybody's behaved, amen? And so the Lord Jesus was getting ready to leave these disciples, and he knew it. And so he says in John 13, look at verse 34 and 35. John 13, verse number 34 and 35. He says this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Now get the next statement. "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." Verse 35 says this, "By this by loving one another as Christ loved us, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you're following me, if you have love one to another. Amen. The Lord Jesus, in this text right here, he commands them to love one another. I'm leaving. I'm not going to be there. By the way, when the Lord was there, they still had issues one with another. They were still fighting over who's going to be the greatest. You know? But now that he's gone, he knows that it's going to give opportunity perhaps for the devil to try to get in there. He commanded them to love one another. Listen, not only do we see the command to love one another, but we see the comparison. How are we to love one another? And here's the comparison. Jesus said, as I have loved you, love one another. He's the example of how we ought to love one another. But then we also see the consequence. What is the consequence of us loving one another? By this, by our loving one another as Christ loved us, by this shall all men know that we're following him. Amen? We become a testimony. We become example, if you will. Turn over, if you would, to chapter number 15 of John. John chapter number 15. I want you to notice, if you would, John chapter number 15. And then we're going to look at verse number 12. And verse number 13, look with me if you would please, John 15, verse number 12. Again, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples as he's on his way, if you will, to Gethsemane and then to Calvary. John chapter 15, look at verse number 12. He says this, "This is my commandment that you love one another." Again, as I have loved you. Look at verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And by the way, Jesus made that statement. A lot of times we quote that verse in reference to Jesus, and it's wonderful. But the fact of the matter, the verse is connected to us loving each other. Amen? It's one thing that Jesus loved us so much, he laid down his life for us. But you and I need to love each other to the point that we lay down our life for each other. By the way, that's the kind of love he's talking about. Matter of fact, hold something here and turn to 1 John chapter 3. Please, 1 John chapter 3. In fact, Dr. Paul Freeman, when he was here preaching Sunday school, asked anybody if we had this memorized. I was hoping he didn't point me out. I'd be like, oh, you know, I don't have that one. I can give you John 3:16. But 1 John 3:16 was what he's talking about. And I want you to look at it. See, Jesus said in John 13 and in John 15, love one another as I have loved you. How much has he loved us? He loved us enough to give his life for us. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. Hereby perceive we understand the love of God, because he, by the way, God, Jesus, right, laid down his life for us. And here's what it says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. Now turn back to John 15, if you would. So Jesus said in John 13, we need to love one another. Jesus said in John 15, verse number 12, we need to love one another. Now look at verse number 17 of John chapter 15. John 15, look at verse number 17. These things I command you that you what? Love one another. Listen, why do I read all? Three times the Lord commanded his disciples before he left this earth. Three times he said to them, love one another. If the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned enough to three times tell these disciples, listen, I'm leaving. Make sure you love one another. It's got to be important. Amen. It has got to be important. I want you to turn, if you would, please, to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. We need to love one another. This, out of all the one another's that we need to do, this is the key. This is the key. We need to love one another. And I believe that we need to develop this in our hearts. Amen? Romans chapter number 12. I want you to look with me, please. You see, as I've studied the scriptures, many of the one another's fall under certain categories. And I believe that loving one another involves some things. Look at Romans 12 and look at verse number 10. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned. And by the way, they say that this thought of kindly affection has to do with family love. Family love. What is family love? Family love is we love as brethren. We love as what? Family. Hey, listen, where I come from, in the city of Philadelphia, I grew up in a bad neighborhood, bad situation, bad family, and I've seen a lot of brothers fight each other. Never try to get in between them, because then they both turn and fight you. For some reason, they could be fighting each other, mad at each other, and then in a moment's notice, if you try to pick on their brother, they love their brother. You understand what I'm saying to you? There's just something about your family. Now, I know that there are some extreme cases where some families, when something gets in there, it gets in there, and boy, the love's not there. But for the majority of the time, you know, children may squabble with each other growing up, but they love each other, no doubt about it. Amen? And there might be minor issues here and there, but the love for each other because they're brother and sister overrides it all. Verse number 10, Romans 12. Be kindly affectioned one to another with what? Brotherly love. And that brotherly is Philadelphia, right? That's what it is, Philadelphia. Brotherly love in honor. Now here's what love does, ready? Preferring one another. You see, under the category of loving one another, I believe loving one another involves, listen, preferring one another. Preferring one another. You say, what in the world is preferring one another? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Preferring one another is this. Listen, it's a matter of treating others as more important than ourselves. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, I do know about you. It goes against my grain. Amen? We use a statement and we say, I don't know you from Adam. That's the opposite. I know you from Adam. I know me from Adam. We're from Adam. And we have that Adamic nature. We've all been hit with the atom bomb, by the way. Can I get a witness on that one? By the way, there's another atom bomb. You spell it differently. It's the second atom. You get hit by that, then you can somewhat get straightened out. One is destruction. One is medication, if you will. You read Romans 12 on that one. In fact, we're in the neighborhood, but I'm not going to read it. Love is preferring one another. It's treating others as more important than ourselves. That goes against my human nature. I want to be the important one. Amen? I want to be first. Amen? By the way, that is the essence of children. Children in the nursery are not like, here, you can have my toys. Children in nursery are playing with their toy. They look over, they see somebody playing with their other toy. They drop that, they go get the other toy. They say, mine. Mine. Okay, then they can play. No, not mine too. You want to read about children like that? Read 1 Corinthians. Very first Corinthians. Paul said, I tried to speak to you, couldn't speak to you, you're carnal. You're saying, well, I like this preacher better than that preacher. And if you don't like my preacher, I don't like you. And I follow Paul and I follow Peter and I follow. And he said, you're carnal. You're babes. You know what babies are? Selfish. Me, mine. Can I get a witness? And there we are in the flesh, by the grace of God. Only ours is not, that's my toy, that's my position. No, that's my popularity. No, that's my... My son Micah, he's 18 years old now. When he was little, my son Matt, who was never real little, is bigger. They would play a game on the TV, you know, I don't want to say Atari because I don't think it was in their day. Atari's my day. I didn't want to get into that. But they were playing a game. My son, Micah, he could get to a certain level. You know, and he could get there. And once he got to that level, he would say, Matt, do me a favor. Get me to the next level. And he would hand Matt the thing, and Matt would get him. And I came in one time, and I said, oh, Matt, you're doing real good. You know, Micah did. And Matt, this time, Matt, Micah turned and said, that's me. That's me. You see, what happened was Micah got to a certain level, couldn't go no further, asked Matt to get him another level. But in his mind, that was still him. But really, it wasn't him getting him to that level. If God ever gets you to a level and people praise God for it, don't ever say, no, that was me. Can I get a witness? Because there, I am what I am, Paul said, by the grace of God. Amen? Preferring one another. Others have to become more important than ourselves. I want you to look with me, book of Philippians, if you would, please, chapter number 2. Do you understand now why I'm talking to you about that? This is not evangelistic preaching this morning. But it is Bible preaching, amen? And this is what we need, brothers and sisters. I said we need. Every Christian needs it. Amen? No doubt about it. I'm afraid that many Christians stay the way they are and never grow because they don't hear preaching and teaching that's like this. They're more interested in going and hearing some, you know, something, whatever, and the music and this, that, and the other thing, and they never really grow. We ought to be challenged by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God in our hearts to be better Christians. And one of the great challenges every one of us ought to get from these scriptures is I need to put others first. In my flesh, I want to be first. In my flesh, it's me. But I need to learn to put others first, prefer others. Amen? Look at Philippians chapter number 2. And I want you to look with me. We'll begin in verse number... By the way, Philippians is a great book, one of Paul's personal books. There was probably a minor squabble between two ladies in the church. In fact, look at chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 2 to see this. Paul speaks to two women in the church that may have had some kind of minor issue. He said this, I beseech Audius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same, mind in the Lord. There must have been some kind of lack of unity between these women. But nonetheless, Paul says in Philippians 2, look at verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that you be what? Like-minded. What is he doing? He's calling for unity. Be like-minded. He's calling for unity. And he said this, having the same, that's unity, the same what? Love. Being of one accord. Amen? Of one mind. He's calling for unity within the church, right? Look what he says, verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife. That word strife has to do with trying to become first. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, empty praise, right? But let it be done in what? Lowliness of mind. You see, the key to unity is what? Humility. Humility. Only by pride cometh contention. He says this, let each, now watch this, esteem other better than themselves. That's preferring one another. Esteem other better than yourself. We all have to have the proper attitude. Amen? You know why some people get mad when somebody else sits in their seat? Because they've been to that church forever. They're actually one of the ones that helped buy those seats. Their family heritage goes back. Their parents have a plaque on the wall. Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, we got some issues if we're more concerned about my seat than we are somebody's soul. Can I get a witness on that one? That's the truth. And it's always me, mine, right? Look at verse number 4. Now here it is, verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things. What's that mean? Selfishness. His own things. But every man also on the things of what? Others. There it is. By the way, Philippians, the book, others is the key. Others. This chapter, Paul used Jesus as an illustration of considering others before himself. He used himself as an illustration. He used Timothy as an illustration. And he used Epaphroditus as an illustration. These individuals were selfless and were concerned about others. Not me, not mine, but theirs. You know, Paul put it this way, I seek not yours, but you. In other words, I don't want what you have. I want to be a help to you. Paul said, I've spent and I'm ready to be spent for you. Look at verse number 5. I want you to see this. So Paul in verses 1-4 is saying, listen, we need to esteem others better than ourselves. We need to think about others and be concerned about others. And then he says, verse number 5, the favorite scripture we all like, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you and I would have the mind of Christ, others would be our concern, not ourselves. What is the mind of Christ? Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, in other words, he was God in the flesh. Amen. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. Watch this. But he made himself of what? No reputation. It wasn't about him. He was God. In fact, he came to earth, the Bible says in Hebrews, and he became lower than what? Angels. In fact, I think on the cross, he became even lower than men. He said, I'm not a man, I'm a worm and no man. Amen? But made himself of no reputation. And what did he do? Look at verse number 6. He took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus Christ is the example of putting others first. In fact, in Mark chapter 10, verse number 45, it said this, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He didn't come to earth so people can minister to him and serve him. But he came to minister and then to give his life a ransom for many. Amen? He's our example. Look at verse 8. And being found in fashion in a man, what did he do? He humbled himself. See, he became a servant. He became humble. It wasn't about him. It was about others. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. By the way, he didn't concern himself with exalting himself. It wasn't me, me, me. You'll hear preachers often say before they preach, oh, Lord, hide me behind the cross. You know, it's not about me. What happens when you humble yourself? By the way, if you want to lift yourself up, you know what God does? He puts you down. If you humble yourself, guess what God will do? He'll lift you up. Verse 9 says this about Jesus. Verse number 9, it says, wherefore God, because he was the way he was, God also hath what? Highly exalted him. Amen. He didn't seek exaltation from men. He came to earth to do what God wanted him to do. He found his purpose in life on this earth and did it for us and for the Father's glory. Amen? Others. Preferring one another. What does that mean? That means treating others as more important than ourselves. Let me say this. It's allowing others to be first. There are some in churches that need to be careful. In 3 John verses 9 and 10, there was a man named Diotrephes. And here's what it says about him. He loveth to have the preeminence. What that means is he liked to be the main man in the church. To the point, when John the Apostle sent men, he refused to take them in, refused to listen to them. And if anybody in the congregation would listen to him, he would kick them out of the church. He loves to have the preeminence in the church. The problem is this. Colossians 1:18 says there's only one that should have preeminence in the church. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to treat others more important than ourselves. We need to allow others to be first. Might I say this? We need to honor others and not ourselves. Loving one another involves preferring one another. Let me give you another thought about loving one another. Jot it down because I don't want to turn there. Hebrews 10:24. Loving others not only involves preferring one another, but it involves, listen, considering one another. The Bible says, consider one another. Amen? And then I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians again, chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We need to love one another. We need to prefer one another. We need to esteem others higher than ourselves. We need to let honor others and not seek to honor ourselves. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which I mentioned earlier, speaks about a body and the parts of the body all being important. But I want you to see what it says about one of the things we need to do for one another, which love does. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. By the way, the Lord puts people in the church and he situates who he wants to do what. He gives people the ability to do things that need to be done. It says this, that the members should have the same what? Care one for another. See, that's what we need to do. We need to care for one another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Why should we care for one another? Because we need to understand that everybody in the church congregation affects the whole congregation. Why should I care not to hit my thumb with a hammer? Because my whole body feels it. Amen? When a member hurts, everybody ought to hurt. When a member's honored, everybody ought to rejoice. Amen? Loving one another. Listen, it involves preferring one another. It involves considering one another, esteeming one another. It involves caring for one another. Let me give you a statement. Turn to Galatians, if you would, please. Chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, please. Galatians chapter number 5. One another. We need to love one another. Prefer one another. Don't try to be the big man. Amen. We can't be selfish. We got to learn to be selfless. Amen. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read in a moment. But let me say this. Let me make a statement here. It's a dog eat dog world. You understand that, right? Some people mess up that statement. It's not a doggy world. It's a dog eat dog world. It is. But that should not be the church. Amen. On the job, you know, in the work, everybody's, you know, eating up everybody else to get somewhere. Amen. That shouldn't be the church. Shouldn't be a dog eat dog church. You say, well, could it be? Yeah, it could be. It could be. You could have people in the congregation in the flesh trying to get their way somewhere and don't care who they tread on to get there. Amen? That's the truth. You say, how do we know that? Because Paul warned about it in Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Look at verses 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. Notice what it says. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Look at verse 14. For all the law was fulfilled in this one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what is he talking about? He said, listen, we need to love one another. Look what he says in verse 15. But if you what? Bite and devour one another. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. One commentator uses the thought, vicious animals attacking each other. You know, there's a good question, and that is this. When does a person become animalistic? When does a person become animalistic to the point that he'll bite and devour, as it says in here? I think it's when you get in the flesh. In Psalm 73, Asaph talked about being tempted and nearly getting away from the Lord and then finally getting right. Do you know what he said? He said, at one point, I was as a beast before thee. Amen? We become inhumane. Amen? In churches, people bite and devour each other in the flesh. That's not love. Amen? That's not love. Am I right on that one? Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. If your flesh wants to dominate, if your flesh wants the preference and wants the accolades and wants the first place and wants the preeminent, if your flesh wants this and you'll do whatever to get it, you need to get out of the flesh and get into the Spirit.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of God would be a blessing to others and not hurt others. I mentioned it last week. When it comes to spiritual cannibals, in the Spirit, the worst I could probably do is gum you. Amen? And I don't think that's going to hurt too much. Can I get a witness on that one? We need to love one another. Amen? And that means preferring one another. And that means considering one another. And that means caring for one another. And I really think we need to grow at it. We're in the neighborhood. Anywhere you're at is in the neighborhood, right? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I know the preacher, before he went to be with the Lord, was working on this book from 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, I want you to look at chapter number 3. We need to love one another. Amen? And if you'll be honest, it's not the easiest thing to do. Amen? It's not the easiest thing to do. And by the way, the Lord knows that. In and of ourselves, it's not the easiest thing to do, by no means. I believe a person really needs to be saved if they're going to really love one another. And I believe that they need to be spiritual. Amen? If we're going to love one another. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want you to look with me in verse number 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 12 and 13. And the Lord make you. I like that. The Lord make you to increase and abound in what? Love one toward another. We need God to help us. He's the one that will make us. Remember what he said to the disciples? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He's the one that can make us to the point where we can grow to the point where we can love as he wants us to love. Amen. The Lord make you to increase and to abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as you do toward, or as we do toward you. Look at verse 13. To the end, for the purpose that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all men, all the brethren, I should say, which are in Macedonia. We beseech you, brethren, that you increase, look at that, more and more. We know you're loving each other, but you can grow at it. Keep on growing at loving each other more and more. And by the way, here's an encouraging thing. Paul said to them, you need to grow in loving one another. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, matter of fact, we're right there. We are in the neighborhood. We're right next door. It's the next door neighbor. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to see this. They actually did grow at loving one another. Amen? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fitting, because, look what he says, your faith groweth exceedingly, and the what? Charity. That's that self-sacrificing love, agape love. And the charity of every one of you toward each other, what? Aboundeth. He was thanking God that they did grow at loving one another. Amen? We need to love one another. We need to grow at loving one another. Now I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1, please. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Some young lady said to a preacher one time when he got done preaching, is the sermon over? And he said, no, now we actually got to go live it. Ain't that the truth, folks? Amen. Studying these scriptures, reading these scriptures, God, deal with my heart. Amen. I don't love like this, but I want to. And I'm praying for God to work in my heart that I'll have this kind of love. Amen. It's important in a family that love like this be there. Amen? No doubt about it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse number 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. That's not hypocritical love right there. That's sincere love. Of the what? Brethren. See that you love one another with a what? Pure heart. What? Fervently. You know, it's easy to be hypocritical in love, isn't it? I love you, brother. Love you, sister. You know what I mean? But do we really? And that's what he's calling for. Real. Look at chapter number 3 of the same book. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look with me if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to look with me in verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. Oh, we need to love one another. We need to love one another. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says this. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Again, he's calling for unity here. One mind. Having what? Compassion one of another. You know what compassion is? Somebody said this. Listen to this. Compassion is other people's pain in your heart. In other words, you can feel what they're going through. Amen? Have compassion one of another. And by the way, that's what we need. Do we not? By the way, sometimes people are a certain way and we have no idea why they're that way. Sometimes when you learn about how they grew up and then the family and the situation they had, you start to get compassion. There's a brother I'm thinking of in my mind, and I won't say because you record this. One of the most difficult brothers to get along with growing up in the Lord, in the church. Very difficult. Hardest time really loving them like I should. And I remember one time listening to this man's story about his family life and growing up and how he grew up. And you know what happened? I understood why he was the way he was after he told me that. Once I understood the sad situation he came from, that allowed me to have compassion and say, now I understand why the guy is the way he is. To have a father so abusive like that and so on and so on and so on. You understand what I'm saying here? Let me tell you, sometimes, by the way, get to know each other. And you don't have to disclose everything about your life or whatever, as God leads. But you know, sometimes the better we know people, the more that we can understand maybe why they are the way they are. Amen? He says in verse number 8, finally, be all of one mind, have compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Look at verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. By the way, you know what he's saying? Don't seek to get even. You know, I read someone, if you're going to seek to get even with somebody that did you good. Think about that. When's the last time? Well, let me see, who blessed me and I need to get... Don't seek to get even. Goes on to say, but contrarywise, look at blessing. Instead of trying to get even with somebody, how about trying to bless that somebody? Folks, I'm telling you what it says here. This ain't my idea. Can I get a witness? If I have to be honest, this is not my idea. I don't know about you. Am I more sinful than everybody here? I love watching, oh boy. Now, if you're against TV, forgive me. What's that guy gets put on the island? That's too modern, brother. They falsely accused him, put him on a Count of Monte Cristo. Sinner, any other sinners in here? Anybody recall the Count of Monte Cristo? There's a book that was written, by the way. It's based on the book. Anybody read it? Anybody familiar with it? Anybody watch The Count of Monte Cristo? I know it's sacrilegious. And when you watch it, and if you've never watched it, be careful. There might be a part or two in there that you have to really be careful. But nonetheless, it's the story of a man who gets falsely accused. Some guy's trying to cover up something. Puts him on an island, the Chateau d'If it's called. Locks him up pretty much till he's dead to cover. And this man escapes the island, finds a treasure, and his whole sole goal is to get revenge on everybody that played a part in putting him on that island. And when he gets out, he plans his revenge. He's got so much money he can pay for it. Never kills anybody, so that's a righteous thing. But I'm going to tell you something. I loved how he got the revenge. I love it. This guy did him wrong and he comes back. And in my nature, I love that. Did you watch it and like it too? Anybody? Anybody like that part? Yeah. Amen. And I remember sitting there. I remember thinking, I think it's a part of our human nature. We love to see that. Amen. I'm not pushing that. I'm not pushing sin and wrong. I'm trying to say it's a part of our nature that we need to overcome. Amen. Look at verse number 9. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Listen, people do you wrong. They're going to tread on your toes. We live among each other. Somebody's going to say something wrong, or somebody's going to take it wrong. Amen? You don't even have to do nothing and they take it wrong. Oh, I know why he didn't say hi to me. I know why she didn't say hi to me. Oh, I know why they said that. And I know why they said that. Can I get, you know what's called evil surmisings? Amen? And the devil's behind it all a lot of times because they didn't really mean that or whatever. Don't seek to get even. Be a blessing. What will that? Because you're going to end up being blessed because of that. In fact, he goes on in verse number 10 and he talks about, listen, you want to enjoy the good life? The good life is not going to be experienced by running around getting even with people. Amen? It's going to be because of your love and your respect and your forgiveness. But look at verse number 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him what? Refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, run from it, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Why? Because God's eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open to their call. Don't let the wrong of somebody cause you to get wrong. Because it'll put you in a place where you're not going to be blessed. Amen? We need to have compassion for one another. We need not to try to get even in reference to one another. Listen, somebody said to respond evil for evil is manlike. To respond evil for good is Satan-like. To respond good for evil is God-like. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse number 21, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen? We need to love one another. And I'll close with this. Turn to 1 John, if you would, please. 1 John. Loving one another involves preferring one another. It involves preferring one another. Seek to honor others. Seek to encourage others. Don't be somebody who's trying to get to the top and you're going to pull down as many as you can to get there. Amen? By the way, if you help somebody up a mountain, you get closer to the top yourself. Amen? In 1 John chapter number 3, and I will say this. You know this to be true if you have any scripture knowledge at all. 1 John is the book of love. Amen? It is a book that emphasizes loving one another over and over again. Amen? In fact, in 1 John chapter 3, look at verse number 11. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should what? Love one another. Look at verse number 23 of the same chapter. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And what? Love one another as he gave us commandment. You know 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. In fact, you sing that one here. Do you sing that 1 John 4, 7 and 8 here? You ever hear that one? Beloved, let us love one another. That's they sing that song. But look at verse 7 and 8 of 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is what? Born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. The emphasis is this. You and I who know his love and who know him ought to love each other. Amen? Look at verse 11 to 13 of the same chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. By the way, when we love each other, God's love can be expressed through us. Remember, all men shall know you're my disciples if you what? Love one another. Look at verse 13. We mentioned this earlier, I think. Or no, we didn't. Hereby we know that we dwell in him. By the way, look at verse 13 again. Hereby, that means this, when we love one another, here's what it says, hereby know we that we what? Dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. Look at verse number, I don't want to look at that. Yeah, look at chapter 3 again, and we'll close with this verse. 1 John chapter 3, I want you to look with me. And I want to say this, many people use many of these scriptures in 1 John. And there is a great emphasis on this. When we love one another as we ought to, this is assurance that we're saved. Amen? It's assurance that we're saved. Look at verse number 14. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. That's salvation, right? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We need to love one another. In fact, I'm going to ask Brother Jason and our brother to come up here to lead the singing. We're going to close this morning with a hymn or with a song. And that song is the family of God. Amen. Because that's what we are. If we're saved, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And we're all going to have our faults and failures. Amen. Somebody said the ministry would be great if it weren't for people. Yeah. We're all sinners, and we're all going to say something wrong. We're going to do something wrong. We're going to tread on somebody, not always on purpose. What are we going to do? Leave? We can't do that, because you're going to go somewhere else where it's going to be worse. What do we need to do? We need to learn to what? Love one another. May God help us, amen, in this endeavor. Brother, would you lead that?
It's number 807. All the way in the very back, beyond the index, 807, in the hymn book.
Oh,
saved and you'd like to talk to somebody, you can see me after the service. If you're a lady, we'll have somebody speak with you. We always want to make sure if you have any questions about being saved that you find them in the Bible. Amen. And we'll try to help you to do that. But also, not next week, but the following week, the Lord willing, we're going to have the Lord's table on May 7th. And also, if anybody needs to be baptized, we're going to need to know by next Sunday so that we can have things set up for the following Sunday. So if you've been saved and you've never been baptized biblically by immersion, then please come see us and we'll be definitely glad to do that. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our dismissal. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather as your people, as your family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the same Father. And we thank you for your love for us, but the love you have for us is the love that you have for each other, for others as well. May we love like we ought to love, Lord. Please, I pray you'll forgive us and that you'll help us. May we have unity, and may that love be based, or may that unity be based on our love one for another. In Jesus' precious name, we pray for your watch care and our dismissal. Amen. Have a great week. Amen.